This is the hour of the going home. This is the hour of the soon coming of your Son Jesus, which no man knows the day or the hour. He didn't even know it himself, but you know it, Father. So, Lord, we know that that's the reason the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Because it was not written in the book, because only you know it. And so, Father, we're dependent upon thee for you bringing into manifestation the revelation. For we know that your word is interpreted by you bringing it to pass. And so we're looking for the great interpretation of the second coming, that you will bring forth your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll bring him down from the portals of glory. He'll leave your throne, O God. Intercession will be over at that time. We'll be somewhere in that other dimension, caught up to meet him, caught up into that resurrection ministry, which is to take us to meet your Son, Jesus. Help us, Father, to be prepared. Help us not to miss it. Help our families not to miss it. Help us, Lord, to put aside all foolish talk, all things, Lord, that would not pertain to getting ready. And may we truly be focused as we've never been focused before. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to take a light message, although it's not short, but it's light, on the comparison between twins, the elect and the non-elect. Now we all know that every revival produces twins. That's what Brother Ram taught us. And he also taught us that twins were, one was spiritual, the other was carnal. So every revival will produce two kinds of people, spiritual, born-again believers, and carnal churchgoers. In Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, Brother Bram said, but if you notice, the old crow can sit out here on a dead carcass and eat half the day. The dove will sit in a wheat field and eat half the day. And the crow can fly right over there and eat dove food as much as he wants to. He could eat just as much wheat as the dove can. But the crow can eat the dove food, but the dove can't eat crow food. That's right. So an old hypocrite can come to church and rejoice and shout and praise the Lord and go on like that and go right back out and enjoy the things of the world. But a born-again Christian cannot do it because the love of God constrains him to such a place he can't do it. Now, I thought it was interesting when we read what the Pope said on twins, because it's interesting that 54 years after the prophet went off the scene, or actually... 61 years after the prophet went off the scene, that the Pope is now preaching twins. The problem is he's not preaching that one is a born-again believer, because they don't believe in that. They believe as long as you're a good person in the church, etc., you know, that you're the good one. And but what Brother Branham is talking about is, he says, one is born again. A born-again Christian cannot do it because the love of God constrains him to such a place that he just couldn't do it. Both twins believe in God, and both will quote the word of God. James 2:19 tells us, for thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes, and he trembles. Why I'm a holy roller, Brother Bram said, now this is going to make you tighten up your ecclesiastical vest just a little bit. But listen, notice, God cannot be just. If you say, I'm a believer, so was Cain. And so is the devil. That's right. He came as a believer. And you say, well, I go to church. I'll go to the altar. So did Cain. Cain built an altar or a church under the Lord. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. So was Cain. And Cain made a sacrifice. And you say, well, I pay so much every year into the church. So did Cain. I worship the Lord from the bottom of my heart. So did Cain. Cain was a believer. He was a worshiper. And just as fundamentally right as Abel was. Now think about it. Fundamentally right. In other words, did everything the same. Sang the same songs. Worshiped the same. Made the same sacrifices. Paid his tithes. Did all these things that were fundamental. And you know what? He was serpent seed. Yep. Oh. That's right. Oh, I love this. I pray, God, steam our hearts. Don't get excited. I know where I am. Now look, but I feel kind of religious now. Now notice, when I see that pro and con, when I see that negative and positive, when I see Cain come up there in the beginning, now we're back in Genesis at the beginning of the tree where it was planted. Cain was strictly a fundamentalist, just as fundamental as Abel was. He loved the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. He made a sacrifice to the Lord. He paid his vows to the Lord, just as religious as any fundamental teacher could teach it today. That's right. But God accepted Abel's offering because Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by being just. Now, if we had time, I'd like to twist that. Now there's a beginning of the two trees. I want you to watch one on the right, one on the left, Cain and Abel. Now, there's where this thing that we're living in today was planted right there in the Garden of Eden and started from there in Genesis, right there. Now, we've been preaching now for the last, what, 3 months? Close to 3 months on twins. I would think today, by all the things that we've taught, all the scripture, all the quotes of the prophet, you would be able to understand that you've got people right in this message that are carnal believers. And you've got righteous believers, both in the same pew. Judas was among the 12 apostles, right in there doing everything the same as them. When they went out casting out devils, guess what? Guess what? Judas was there with them. When they were fasting, he was fasting right with them. When they were praying, he was praying right there with them. He did everything the same as they did. And yet, he was a son of perdition. Don't ever get so high and mighty and think, I'm in the message, I made it. You don't know that you made it until you made it. So you should walk humbly before God. From the message preparation, he said, I told you the other night that Cain was a believer, and I'll give you a little stronger meat than that tonight if you want to believe it. The devil is a believer. The Bible says he is. He believes and he trembles. The devil is a believer. Now, if belief and faith in God is all that you have to be saved, then the devil's saved according to the word of God. How many people say, I got the Holy Ghost because I believe the message? As if that makes you a Holy Ghost filled person. Well, I believe the message. That's the evidence that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they go out and they live like any denominational, so-called nominal Christian might live. If belief and faith in God is all that you have to be saved, then the devil's saved according to the word of God. That's from a vindicated prophet. That's right. But brother, it's got to take the Holy Spirit and a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts a spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. I'm beginning to feel religious already, he says. Now, how do you know that you're no more your own? Well, when the flesh says to do something and there's something else that speaks within you and says, no, I don't do those things. And it all boils down to whether you are truly been born of his Spirit or not. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just," that's those that are justified, "and the unjust." So the same sun, the same benefits of God, the same blessings from God fall on the just and the unjust, the evil and the good. From the Lamb and the Dove, he said, "I wondered about that one time. I saw a vision. It was made manifest how that a man went forth sowing wheat. When he slept, why, then an enemy come forth and sowed tares," which is scriptural. "And when the wheat come up and got ripe, the weeds also was up also, and the tares. And when there would come a drought, and when the drought come, everybody was praying for rain." Who's everybody? Everybody. Wheats and weeds. "And a great black cloud come, and the rain came down, and a little wheat had his head up, head down like this, and it brought his little head up, and began to say, 'Oh, glory to God. Praise ye to the Lord for sending the rain.' And the little weed jumped up just the same as the wheat did, and said, 'Glory to God, hallelujah, for sending the rain.'" And I said, "Now, I don't know what to think. Then I seen them again, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain was sent for the wheat, but the tares being in there got the benefit of it, the same rain. But by their fruits you shall know them." That's what Jesus said. Now, always remember and never forget. The rain represents the doctrine of God, and it represents the watering of the Holy Spirit. His word, as we see in Deuteronomy 32, 1 and 2, says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech, my words, shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." So the just were praising God for sending his doctrine, and the unjust were praising God for sending his doctrine. So we see that when God sends forth his early rain, that's his teaching rain, that's the doctrine going forth in a teaching ministry. And then he sends forth his latter rain, which is the same doctrine in its manifestation, in its harvest form. The wheat and the tares together will lift up their hands to God, and both of them will praise God for it. Therefore, lest you get puffed up and you think, "I've got the doctrine," I have advice for you. You better stay humble about it. Because God's rain, his doctrine, falls on the just and the unjust. You had better be taking inventory daily where your life is measuring up, because the admonition was not what you knew, but did you know him? Did he have an intimate relationship with you? Remember, he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." From Show Us the Father, Brother Bram said, now back to Cain and Abel. When Cain worshipped, he built an altar, he sacrificed, he worshipped God, but that wasn't enough. And it was beautiful, no doubt, the flowers and things that grows in the field, and he decorated his altar. And so we find in Matthew 7:16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord.'" In other words, they're calling him Lord. They're not just calling him, Jesus, my Savior. They're saying, you're my Lord of my life. They're calling him their Lord. "Have we not prophesied in thy name?" That means preached. "And in thy name have we not cast out devils?" That's deliverance and healing power. "And in thy name done many wonderful works?" "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, and we know iniquity is what you know to do and you don't do it, or you know not to do and you do it anyway. Now, as we preached on last Sunday, that means he never knew you in an experiential, intimate way. Or they thought they knew him. Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Preach in your name? Cast out devils in your name? Done all these wonderful things for people in your name? Because I know you. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't know you. They preached in his name, they cast out devils in his name, and in his name they did many wonderful works, and he doesn't deny that they did those things. But it's not a matter of what you do or what you don't do. It's a matter of whether you have an intimate relationship with him or not. From who do you say this is, Brother Bram said? Now, when he's seen he couldn't curse you, see, he's talking about the devil. So what's he going to do? He's going to organize you. Bring you. Oh, we're all one anyhow. See, we all believe in the same God. So that's just what Balaam did. And didn't Jude warn us of that? They erred in the doctrine of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Doesn't Jude, the foster brother of Jesus, warn us of this in the Bible? They're like Cain from the beginning, the hireling, the one that went to church and built churches and built an altar and sacrificed, and they err in the way of Cain. They run in the way of Balaam and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Now Jude lays the whole thing out just like we're doing it this morning here before you, like we've been doing it, the whole thing lays there. Now, I'm not going to go into detail tonight, but a few months ago we preached a sermon and went through Jude. And every single attribute that he brought those out of Scripture. But let's look at this doctrine of Balaam for just a moment. Let's turn the Bibles to the book of Jude. First, we're told in verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Now, notice how they speak evil of things that they know nothing about. Just keep that in the back of your mind as we continue our study in the doctrine of twins, in the Bible doctrine of twins, because notice there's a character flaw, there's an attribute there. They speak evil of things they know not. Now, if you don't know, just learn to shut your mouth. Learn to say nothing. Brother Ram said, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. So we should be keeping still most of the time. And just remember one thing, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. But unless they're scripturally based, you're not worthy to be mentioned. Now he says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Okay, Cain had no revelation, but he was very fundamental. So these are fundamentalists. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. In other words, what did Balaam do for reward? He tried to say we're all one. He tried to gather as many as he could together for reward. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you. So it's got to be right in this message. Or else you're going to have to throw this right out of the Bible. Feeding themselves without fear. And clouds, they are without water. Now, what's a cloud? The Bible says, Paul says, every cloud of witness. Clouds represent a witness. And notice, these are clouds without water. No rain, no doctrine. I can tell you, these are people that can tell you all about the prophet. They can tell you about his life, about, the great victories in the love divine that he had, but they won't stand for the doctrine that he preached. Oh, we love the man, but they won't preach what he preached. They won't take a stand where he had to take a stand. And it says, they're carried about of winds, that's doctrines, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, and Brother Bram said, wandering about this and wandering about that. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So this is not a very good company to be in. And yet they're feasting with you. Now from Ephesians parallels Joshua, Brother Brown said, but there's one thing that they can do. They're good workers. Oh, they just work, 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 work. It's just work, 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 work. And what are they working for? Well, ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? they stick out their ears and don't know where they belong. What do you mean? What about this? What do you mean, the Holy Ghost? I've never heard nothing about it. Oh, you must be some kind of a fanatic. See, they don't know who Papa was or who Mama was either. And you have to beat them or everything you do, or on everything you do, beat here and beat there and beat here and beat there. That's right, just an old mule. From the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham said, now, if God had that against this church, he's got it against that one too. Because you left your first love. Now, I've got it down. I've got it against you. I have something against you. That's my complaint, he says. You once had a great time, but you let the world begin to creep in, and you got to acting a little formal. You're still holding my name. Remember, they're saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? And you're still doing the things that's right, and you got a lot of patience and so forth, and you labor, and you're like a mule, and you just labor and work and see, my. See, you've left grace and faith and power, and you swapped it for labor and works. Now, so far we've seen many characteristics they both share. And after all, they have the same mother. They have the same church. They have the same birth. They have the same revival. Therefore, it is only expected that both will be religious. So if you're expecting your religion to save you, you're in for a rude awakening. Both believe in God, both worship God, both make sacrifices to God, both talk the word of God, and both attend church, and both pay their tithes. But what separates them? And I'd like to say the Muslims do the same. The Muslims believe in holiness for their women. They believe in keeping their women away from, you know, when they're single, they don't let them be with a guy all alone. They're very strict. They believe in a prophet. And if you don't believe their prophet, they'll kill you for it. We have people in this message got that same attitude. They believe their prophet is a mouthpiece of God. They believe in one God. You see, there's about 20 attributes of the Muslim that fits the message believer. There's one difference. One difference. We believe that the very life of God is shed forth in the hearts of the believer. Now we should begin now to examine the attributes which will show a completely different life source. After all, did not Jesus tell us that by their fruits you shall know them? In Matthew 7:16, he said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And remember, we went into that word know or knew and showed you it's a Greek word, gnosko, and it means an intimate relationship with him. We sing this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, but when's the last time you got on your knees with him and had a sweet hour of prayer? From Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, now notice, it's what they produce that tells you the difference, by their fruits. Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? It's the word for the season. That's what it is. It's their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is? Man's doctrine? Denominational doctrine? Or God's word for the season? In other words, is their fruit preparing themselves? Is their teaching what they believe in preparing themselves for the hour in which we live? Or is it just there to build a camp? From Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Matthew 22:34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Anything that doesn't have God life from the God himself, it'll be rooted up. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 15:13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Just let them alone. I think sometimes we want to, not to meddle, I think sometimes sincerity, you want to reach out and try to help somebody. It's preaching false. He says, just let them alone. Let them alone. Pray for them, but let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Now John 8:37 says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said, and said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. And that word hear means understand. That's Matthew 13:13. You cannot hear my word. You cannot understand my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of sin, which is unbelief? Who of you can point anything at my life and say it shows he's not believing? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth, that understandeth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, you understand them not, because you're not of God. Now, I don't have time to get into it tonight, but we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot understand the things of God. It's just that simple. Now, John 3:19, and this is the condemnation. This is the crisis. This is the line of separation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. In other words, in a greater measure, they loved light. They loved light. It says they loved it. Just but in a greater measure, they love darkness. They love coming to church, but you know what? They'd rather go to a ball game. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life had one attribute they shared in common, they believed. Now from harvest time, Brother Bass said, he'll let you see it if you're ordained to life. And from leadership, he said, now you're ordained to life, you see it if you're ordained to see it. And if you're not ordained to see it, you won't see it. He said, they have eyes, but they can't see, ears, and they can't hear. How thankful you should be, church. How you should straighten yourself up from these things. How you should be on fire for God. That your eyes behold what you see. Your ears hear the things that you see. And from in his presence, Brother Brown said, so we're not ordained to do nothing but stay with that word. And if a man is sent of God, he'll stay with the word because God can only stand by his word. See? He must stay by his word. Then when he come into his presence, when a man once comes into the presence of God, he is changed forever if there's any changing to him. Now, there are those who you could walk into the presence of God and pay no attention to it. He wasn't ordained to life. But if he was predestinated of God, as soon as that first move hits, he knows it and he catches fire. And from the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, Brother Brown said, now a real sheep will say, oh, no, something squeaks in that. That didn't sound right. Oh, that must have been a French harp. That wasn't a trumpet, because the Bible gives no uncertain sound. It says, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Not you might, you will, everyone. How long? To your children, your children's children, and them that's far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. He'll sound the trumpet in every race, every generation, and they'll hear his voice, and they'll believe it. Those that's ordained to life, amen, they'll believe it because they know it's the gospel trumpet sounding. It's not uncertain. Every soldier knows how to stand. And from the seal of God. Now, close now. Listen. So that you'll be sure to remember, I'm not condemning Catholic people. I'm not condemning Protestant people, for out of both of all of them comes the seed of God by election. Those who are ordained to life will see it, and they'll walk in it. Those who cannot see walk in darkness. That's up to God. God does it. He swore and promised Abraham that he would save him and his seed. Now, if you got Abraham's seed, you got eternal life. That's all. And you're heirs according to the promise, and it's all by grace and by the election of God. And from where is the King of the Jews? He said, oh, he is so good. He will catch the attention of every person that he's ordained to life. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe their own ways of worship, but he's God, and he knows the hearts of men, and he watches them, and he protects them, and he brings them to the place. When the deep calls of the deep, there's got to be a deep to respond to that call. If a man is thirsting for something, it shows that there's something out there to respond to quench that thirst. And from Queen of Sheba, said, Jesus had been upbraiding the people because that they had misunderstood his message. And they was trying to make it out to be something that it wasn't. He had been in their cities and had been performing miracles and showing his Messiah sign to the people, as we talked on last night. And we find that those who were ordained to life, they saw it. Those who were not ordained to life did not see it. The gospel blinds those who are not willing to accept it, and it'll give sight to those who are willing to accept it. And that's the way it was in his days, when the scripture plainly stated exactly the things that he did and said that he would do it. And how they missed it, it showed that they had to be blinded. And from we would see Jesus. What I'm trying to do, brothers and sisters, is show you, if you're ordained to see it, by God's grace, you're going to see it. And if you're not ordained to see it, I don't care if, like Brother Bram said, if you open your mouth, put a funnel in, and try to shove it down, you're just going to reject it. There's nothing nobody can do to open your eyes. When we would see Jesus, he said, God was in him, and he said, it's not me, it's my Father that dwells in me. The Son was a man. God was a spirit that was in him. And it was a spirit speaking out of him. Now, see what he'd done to them Jews when he met them. Them were ordained to life recognized it. Now, don't miss it, church. Those that were ordained to life recognized it and believed it. But those who did not believe it was turned away to perdition. Did not Jesus say to those holy, sanctified men who know the scriptures from A to Z or claim to, and he said, you're of your father, the devil. That's exactly right. Now, listen, those are religious people, fundamental as you could be. My understanding is that those Pharisees were so well taught that you could take a pin and run it through the scroll, and they could tell you every letter that it passed through in that scroll. Now, how many of you, if I were to put a pin through your Bible, could tell me even what's on the back side of the page? From worlds falling apart, he said, the same thing has arrived again, and men won't believe, people won't believe, churches won't believe. No wonder. You can't be disappointed in it because the Bible said they wouldn't do it. But it's you individuals, you that's ordained to life, look upon the fields now and see what hour that we're living in. Come to life. Let the life that was in Christ come in you, the mind. You said, oh, I think this. You ain't got no thought coming. You let the thoughts that was in Christ be in you, and that's the word, that's right. Think the thoughts that he thought. From voice of the sign. Then he turned to the disciples and said, you want to go too? See, they couldn't go. They had seen something. They know the scripture. They know that was it. They couldn't explain what he was talking about, but yet they believed it anyhow. They never asked no question. It never bothered them. They believed because it was a vindication of the scripture. You believe that? Well, Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You alone has the words of eternal life. They seen it. They knowed who he was. That was what he's supposed to do, no matter if we can explain it or not. See, they weren't ordained to life. I mean, they were ordained to life before the foundation of the world, and when that light struck it, they knew it. There's nothing going to move them from it, no matter. And it looked like the Pharisees had pinned him in one side and the other. It didn't bother them, disciples. they went right straight on anyhow because they believed it. His voice spoke then. Remember the woman at the well? Look at the difference between her and the Pharisee. He knew all the scriptures. She hardly knew. But she said, you're telling me all my sin. I know no man can do that. But we're taught in the scripture that when Messiah comes, he's going to do that. And Jesus said, I am he. So one is true, the other is false. One is good, the other is evil. From Ephesians Church Age book, chapter 3. Now let us be very careful that we are not confused at this point. Thus, we will seek the word to validate this claim. Let us go back to the book of beginnings, which is Genesis. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. One was good, one was evil. One produced life, the other produced death. There were two children who originally offered sacrifice to God. Now let me repeat that. They both offered sacrifices to God. How much we want to say, well, that person in that church, he believes in a false God because he doesn't go to my church. No. They worship the same God. Yeah. Genesis 4:3-5. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, Elohim. And Abel he also brought of the first spring of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. But one, Cain, was evil, being of his father, the wicked one, while Abel was righteous before the Lord. Again, there were two children from the flesh of the same parents. They were the twins of Isaac and Rebekah. One was the elect of God, and the other was reprobate. Both worshiped God. In every single case, there was a worship of God involved. In every case, the evil hated the righteous and persecuted the righteous. In some cases, the evil destroyed the righteous. But notice, they were planted together, they lived together, they both made their claims upon God, and they worshiped God. And for questions and answers in Hebrews, part one, Brother Branham said, now, let's take back to Cain. Could you tell me where that spirit and that meanness come from? Now look, if Cain was a son of Adam, which was a son of God, where did that evil come from? The first thing when he was born, he hated. He was a murderer. He was jealous. And now take the nature of his daddy, the very start in the beginning, Lucifer. And in the beginning, he was jealous of Michael. What started the whole trouble? How many knows that? And Cain was the nature of his father, which he was jealous of his brother, and he slew him. That's pure. That nature could not come out of that pure seed. It come and had to come out of this perverted stream. And notice Cain, as soon as he was born, and then Abel was born after him, then she conceived by Adam, and he knew her, and she brought forth the son Abel. And Abel was a type of Christ. And when Abel was killed, Seth took his place, death, burial, and resurrection, Christ in type. All right, from Smyrnian Church Age. We're kind of working our way through the Church Age book here. Consider the thought of blasphemy. These of Satan's synagogue were not blaspheming God in this instance, though that goes without saying, but they were blaspheming the true church. Now, the word blaspheme comes from the Greek word bleptophema, and it means to speak injuriously toward someone, to use words to do harm. Certainly, as Cain persecuted and killed Abel because he, Cain, was of that wicked one, and as the dead formal Judaic followers, Jesus said that they were of their father, the devil, tried to destroy the Christians in the first few years of the first age, and now this same group, the false vine, is even more strongly attempting to destroy the true believer in the second age. That Antichrist spirit is growing. Questions and answers. But this fellow, where did that pure lying? Where did that sin come from? Where did this fellow Cain, that was a murderer? And the Bible said that the devil's a murderer. Where did that lie come from? The devil is the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of it. It had to come from some resource outside of God. So Cain was of the evil one and his father was Satan, and he brought forth this evil one. From the Ephesian Church Age, Brother Branham said, but they are religious and they believe in God. They are like their father, the devil, and their ancestor, Cain. Both of them believed in God. They go to church. They mingle with the righteous as do tares mingle with the wheat. And in so doing, they corrupt and produce a Nicolaitan religion. In other words, a religion that you've got to come through this man or this man to make it. They spread their poison in every effort to destroy the seed of God, even as Cain killed Abel. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So whoever does not have the seed of God is reprobate. And the word reprobate means foreordained to destruction. Look it up. That's their goal, whether they want to believe it or not. Now, Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells you, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray that God, I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." In other words, we might look just like those guys, but we're not going to do what they do, because we're not anointed at the same end. From anointed ones at the end time, he said, now just a minute, reprobates concerning the truth, concerning the faith, there's only one faith, and that's right, concerning the faith, reprobates. And in closing, 2 Timothy, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, they shall be covetous." Oh yeah, look at the thing down in Ferguson. Covetous. Go into a store, beat the pulp out of a guy, steal stuff off the shelf, and then the guy doesn't have a weapon. Kill a man for his tennis shoes. Covetous. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers," that means injurious in the way they speak, "disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affection, they'll be truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they can't constrain themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." So they're lovers of God, but they love pleasure more. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses," that's churches, "and leads captive silly women," that's, or the house is the house of God, and the women always represents the church, "and lead captive silly churches laden with sin," laden with unbelief, "led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience." And so Brother Bram said from anointed ones at the end time, he said, reprobates, Jannes and Jambres, as they withstood. Now listen, 2 Timothy 3:8, as Jannes withstood Moses, also in the last days these same reprobates would come. Now, see where it says here? Having a form of godliness, anointed ones. Now, let's just go back and read it when you get home, so I can finish out this morning, if I can. Reprobates concerning, not reprobates in living, they're fine, cultured men. Now notice, when Moses went down to Egypt with a message of "Thus saith the Lord," and was vindicated, called of Israel, which was a people, not a church. Israel was a people. They never was a church, because the word church means called out ones. They were the people of God. Then when they become anointed under the word and called out, they become the church of God. And then backslid because they believed not the word of God and listened to a false prophet. Now I hope that sinks in. Israel being a people of God, come out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God, seeing the signs and wonders of God. And then when God was moving on with them, a false prophet come in, anointed, and taught something contrary to the original word of God. And they heard, and every one of them perished in the wilderness besides three people. Now, hold on to that. And from Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, But in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Again, from anointed ones, he said, now notice that was Jesus speaking. Here come Paul right behind him. And he said, now in the last days there will come religious people, see, having a form of godliness, and lead silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly lusts. Then they wonder, they say, well, why do you pick on them women? Oh, for goodness, they just don't even see it. Leave silly women laden with diverse lusts away from things like that. And as Jannes and Jambres, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, the faith, one Lord. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. I'm telling you, you teach two lords, you got two faiths. You can't have two baptisms, not one of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. That's right. See, false baptisms. And from Pergamum Church 8, Brother Branham said, then I knew the truth of the camp meeting and the vision, the parable of the sower and the seed, the sixth chapter of Hebrews, the evident manifestation of the spirit, spiritual gifts in a mixed audience, all become wonderfully clear. The sower in white was the Lord. The sower in black was the devil. The world was the field. The seeds were people, elect and reprobates. Both partook of the same nourishment, water and sun. Both prayed, both received help from God, for he maketh his sun and rain to fall on both the good and evil. And though they both had the same wonderful blessing, and both had the same wonderful manifestation, there was still that one great difference. They were different seed. Here also was the answer to Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus does not deny that they did the mighty works that only the Holy Ghost can accomplish by way of men. But he did deny ever knowing them. These weren't backsliders. These were wicked, unregenerate, reprobates. These were the seed of Satan, and yet these were right in the message. That's what he said earlier. Both do good, but the rain falls on both in the same field, both worshiping God. This is the twins, brother, sister. Reprobate. They just don't get it. From Sardisian Church 8, Brother Brown said, now, if language means anything at all, and we must admit that Judas was chosen by Jesus, John 13:18, yet he was not clean, John 13:10-11. Judas was also given to Jesus by the Father, John 17:12. Let it be noted here that the choosing and giving is the exact parallel as in the illustration of Moses and Pharaoh, Jacob and Esau. For though Esau and Pharaoh were both foreknown, they were predestinated to wrath. Which is what the definition for reprobate means. It means ordained to destruction. While the end of Moses and Jacob was glorification, 1 Peter 2:8-9 shows both reprobates and elect, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, but you are a chosen generation. Judas was numbered among the 12 and actually had a part with them in the ministry previous to Pentecost. Acts 1:16-17, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. The part that Judas obtained amongst the 12 and then lost was neither inferior to the ministry of the other 11, nor was it a devilish foreign ministry interjected amongst the ministries of the others. In other words, he was just one of them. And he was reprobate. You understand how it comes right down to this message? People claiming to believe God sent a prophet. People worshiping. People doing everything. And they're reprobate. They will not stand with the prophet on what he taught. They want to argue with it. Acts 1:25. That he may take part of his ministry. Okay. Anyway, Laodicean Church Age. And then we are closed. Now we can see why there were two vines, one true, one false. Now we can see why Abraham had two sons, one after the flesh, the persecuted Isaac, and one after promise. Now we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys came forth as twins, one knowing and one loving the things of God, and the other knowing much of the same truth, but not the same spirit, and hence persecuted the child that was elect. God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. He reprobated for the sake of the elect. Elect cannot persecute elect. Elect cannot harm elect. It is a reprobate that persecutes and destroys the elect. Oh, those reprobates are religious and they're smart. They are of the Cain line, the serpent seed. They build their babels. They build their cities. They build their empires. And all the while calling on God, they hate the true seed. And they will do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elect ones. They are needed. What is the chaff to the wheat? No chaff, no wheat. But at the end, what happens to the chaff? It is burned with fire, unquenchable. And the wheat, where is it? It's gathered in his garner. That's where he is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because this is really is very deep when you think about people who are sincere, people who worship you, people who pay their tithes into the church, people who do all kinds of works programs, even doing a lot of missionary work and those things, yet, Lord, they can't take your word. They deny the teaching that you gave, which is denying you. Help us, Father, to understand these things. Help us to put our trust in vindication. You came down with a purpose in mind, not just to put on a show and perform, do miracles and bring forth healing. That was, as Brother Bosworth said, that was just the wrappings on the loaf. You don't eat the wrapping, but the wrappings is what gets your attention to the loaf. But Father, the real loaf, the real bread of life was the word which your prophet brought. And it seems too easy in this message. People don't want the doctrine. They simply want to talk about the man. And yet, what is a man without a doctrine? Your prophet even said, a man without a doctrine has no ministry. And a church without doctrine is a jellyfish without a backbone. It was a doctrine that the first church was killed for. And the church all the way through the ages was persecuted for. It was a doctrine. It wasn't their good living. It wasn't their righteous living. It was the word of God that they stood for. So, Father, we ask you to help us to take that stand. And when we've done all we can do to stand, then help us simply to stand. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.